You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined, as always, by Jason Beck. And Beck, this is a different sort of podcast. This is a different sort of Tigers season. We are not used to being this deep into the season and seeing the Tigers in this deep of a hole. They are under 500 after the break for the first time since 2010. And, of course, 2010 doubles is the last time they didn't win the AL Central. So give me the state of that clubhouse. Is there panic in the Motor City right now?
I don't know if there's panic. I think it's more, the frustration's clearly building. I think you could tell a lot from what guys were saying after the game, just the level of disappointment that they didn't get off to a better start out of the break and have a better series this week. And I think there's even if guys aren't saying it, I think there's a realization that they're going to have to do something here in the next week to week and a half to make August and September mean something, but also to justify some sort of activity at the trade deadline to try to add to this team. I think where they are right now, it's hard to consider them really playoff contenders. They're going to have to make some distance. Even if it's not in the American League Central, I think the Royals right now look awfully tough even without Alex Gordon. They're faring better without Alex Gordon than the Tigers are without Cabrera. I think even if you throw the Central out the window, I think there's still a race to be made in the AL wild card. But they got to bridge the gap right now. They have to draw closer to really make that feel like a real playoff race.
One thing that hurts them, back from the wild card perspective, they're 18-29 against teams outside their division this season. They've actually, they've handled the AL Central pretty well. I guess familiarity helps there. They're used to beating up on some of those clubs, but outside division, they've really struggled. So you can look at a week like this where they're playing the Mariners and the Red Sox, two teams that have had their own set of struggles, and they're two sub 500 teams as well. But you can look at that as an opportunity, but at the same time, the Tigers have struggled when facing teams from the East and West.
Yeah, they really have. And some of the, maybe you can chalk up some of it to the time of year that they've played them. It seems like the division and non-division games have come in bunches. But at the same time, they've had winnable series that they haven't fared well in. You're right. And, Baltimore was a classic example. That was a series that could have easily gone two out of three their way. They couldn't get the runs they needed off of Chris Tillman. In fact, they barely even got any base runners. And then when they needed a strong outing from Justin Verlander, they got a fourth inning exit with seven runs allowed.
Well, you know what question is coming next, Beck? It's the same question I think I posed you in our last podcast, and a question a lot of people are asking right now. You got Price, Cespedes, Soria, Alfredo Simon, Alex Avila. All these guys are pending free agents. I think I know the answer to this question, but just checking in on you here. Has anything changed, do you think, or could anything change on the trade front in the next 10 days that would motivate the Tigers to sell one or multiple pieces?
I think something could. I think if they have a bad stretch here, they definitely could end up, maybe not. I don't know if I'd call it a fire sale, but I think they could face a scenario where the logical route is to sell. What I'm hearing from people who've been talking with the Tigers is that they're going to give it another week or so, maybe 10 days tops, and see where they're at and decide which way to go from there. I think if it's a status quo, then it's really going to be a tough decision for them. But it's going to be hard to and this is the other factor, is that with the state of their system, it's going to be, and given how many teams are looking for the same things that they're looking for, they're going to have a challenge trying to outbid other clubs to the top talent. We're at that type of trade deadline season where the other contending teams, or arguably the more contending teams that are in it, they're looking to add, are teams with deep farm systems, deep in what the Tigers have right now. I can tell you that just checking around the system over the last few days, there haven't been a ton of scouts coming around, which, now granted, that might not mean anything because it could just be a situation where teams have already gone through their routes and done their reports and they're just gathering a meeting right now. But around this time last year, you saw more scouts around than you have so far, this past week. And it's hard not to take that as a potentially frustrating sign for the Tigers as they try to get something done.
Absolutely. I almost wonder, your eyes naturally shift towards David Price because we're always attracted to those aces at the deadline, so to speak. I almost think Cespedes might have more tangible trade value this month than Price just because of the glaring need for bats in this game and in general. So I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, Beck, but
there's a point there, because for one thing, with Price, you at least have the compensation should you lose him as a free agent. And, any deal that gets done, you're going to have to beat the potential reward of a pick near the end of the first round, where Cespedes doesn't have that compensation. So if you're going to get something from him, unless you feel like you can make a major push to sign him this offseason, you want to keep him exclusively for that reason.
Right.
Yeah, if you decide to sell, I think he'd be one of the top pieces to go.
Yeah, he worked that into his contract, for those who don't know, that he's not eligible for the qualifying offer and the compensation that comes with it. So that is a major point there by Mr. Beck. Jason, Justin Verlander, he had an encouraging start just before the break, and then came Sunday. He got rocked by the Orioles. He was booed by the Comerica Park crowd as he left the mound. Fans understandably getting restless there, but you watch him and it's like, I think he has like a 75% fly ball rate since he's been back. It's only five or six starts, obviously, but it just seems like everything out of his hand, at least on Sunday, was middle in. What's your thoughts on him now? Because I would imagine, mentally you round that corner from, okay, this is his spring training to, okay, this is his season, what have your takeaways been from his first five or six starts here?
Well, the secondary pitches are there. I thought fastball command was terrible yesterday. I thought that was some of the worst fastball command I've seen from him in years. It almost looked like, he was basically trying to overthrow regardless of location, and wasn't putting the ball where Alex Avila was putting his mitt, or in some places wasn't putting it anywhere close. And I think he saw the second time around in the order, the Orioles caught on to that, and they just waited and feasted. The parts are there, I still believe. I know it sounds like a broken record, but right now it looks like he doesn't know what type of pitcher he wants to be. You see him have good sequences where he can start off guys with secondary pitches, work ahead, and then you see him, trying to power up where, he feels like he's got to get a swing and a miss. And those swings and misses aren't coming off the fastball anymore. That's not happening. And I think, if it wasn't apparent before, I think it's certainly clear now that whatever Verlander we see going forward, it's not going to be that power pitcher. I don't think that's realistic to forecast anymore.
Well, there's probably some hitters with some pent up aggression from past experiences with that fastball that are at least enjoying the current incarnation of Justin Verlander, but we'll see how he develops in the second half. And another big X factor in the second half is Bruce Rondon. And he's struggling a bit, not locking down that setup role like the Tigers hoped.
Yeah, that's it's opened the door for Neftali Feliz to come in and not only get a job really quickly after cutting ties with the Rangers, but also getting a setup job, essentially.
Right.
I think you watch Rondon, the velocity is there. The command is spotty. You see progress in the sense that he's mixing in more secondary pitches, but at the same time, you see him struggling to finish off batters like he did 2 years ago, when he first emerged. So it's going to be a work in progress, I think, and that's not good news for the Tigers bullpen. I think they need more of a finished product than what we've seen out of them. But I think, too, it's a reminder that here's a guy who really hasn't pitched competitive situations on this stage in basically a season and a half. And I think you're seeing the lost time really manifesting itself, and you're seeing a guy trying to remind himself or rediscover what it takes to get guys out at this level, as opposed to the AAA hitters he was facing for a month in rehab.
All right, there you have it from Mr. Beck. Beck, maybe on a future podcast, we'll just sit here and we'll read Miggy Cabrera tweets, because he's been tweeting quite often in his time away.
I could make. Do we have enough time for that? I don't even know. Jeez. He's going. You're going nuts there for a while.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully the Tigers get some kind of clarity here in the next week plus, because that trade deadline is looming, and they'll be a fascinating team to watch as it unfolds. And I want to thank Jason Beck for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.